The healthcare system is broken, but it doesn't have to be. This is Revenue Cycle Optimized by Infinix Healthcare. We discuss the latest challenges in the revenue cycle space and provide actionable tips on how to overcome them at your organization.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another session of Office Hours with Infinix. My name is Chuck Rackley. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for Infinix, and joining me today is President of NI2 Health and longtime Bruins fan, Jason Adams. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Chuck. How are you today?
No complaints. Don't want to hear any. I don't want to hear any complaints about your Bruins if they lose tonight. So sure, you'll let me hear about that tomorrow if it does.
I will. Don't you worry.
So today, friends and family, we have a very exciting topic. It's one near and dear to both Jason and I's heart, which is AR management, the value of proper AR management. So we're going to be talking about proper organization, some methodologies, some how-tos, some do's and don'ts, and hopefully get into some pretty interesting theory on how to properly manage AR. So it's going to be a pretty exciting topic. So Jason, why don't we start with, tell us a little bit about how you see hospitals and big providers tackling AR today.
So Chuck, that's a good question, because it's interesting that whether the organization is small, big, or a large IDN, call it 12 facilities and a CBO, 20 billion in net patient service revenue, there's a variety of approaches. However, independent of size and complexity, those that are ahead in the market, have good metrics, have good net yields, are doing things consistently with defined methodologies, very clear scorecards, and clearly understand their measures of success. And that's independent of the size and complexity of the facility. But those that set themselves apart are those that understand they must have a scorecard, they must focus on it daily, and it must be communicated throughout the enterprise.
Got it. So talk to us a little bit about some of the various approaches you see in the market today, how they might differ, what's a good one, what's a bad one?
Well, I would say, staying with the theme of those organizations that are setting themselves apart, it starts with the leader of the business office. Titles vary across the country, whether it's director of PFS, VP revenue cycle, so on and so forth. But that director or manager of the business office, those that set themselves apart, is they understand inflow and outflow. Stated in a different way, that PFS leader knows their metrics right off the top of their head. When having a conversation with them, they know what their average daily revenue is. They know what their discharge not final coded is. They know what their global DNFB is. They know where the bottlenecks are. They know if it's a physician issue. They know if it's a transcription issue. They know what their daily billed claims volume is and whether they met that target yesterday or not. They understand where they are from a cash posting perspective, and they really have a keen understanding of what's their gross and net AR days for insurance and for self-pay or patient liability. Those are really key differentiators. When that leader knows the answers to those questions off the top of their head, 99% of the time, that organization is performing very, very well. The other key piece that I would say to add on to that and be cumulative to what is separating those organizations from others is have that leader really understands staffing, productivity, and how they define success. And that it starts when the patient's discharged. So from the point of discharge, they have a commanding understanding of how that claim gets all the way to being properly posted. So they clearly have a seamless process from proper documentation with escalation pathways, because every organization has issues with documentation, charge entry, and the like. But those that set themselves apart have a mechanism for escalation, whether it is to the chief medical officer for Dr. X, who doesn't complete his charts for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They have a clear understanding of what and when they trigger that CMO or that physician champion to help with the medical staff. They also have clear understanding because hierarchy and chain of command is different in every organization. That PFS leader may or may not oversee coding, may or may not oversee medical records, but they have escalation mechanisms. And then they have a keen awareness of what is holding up their claims. What is preventing the business office, for lack of a better term, from billing claims on a daily basis? And they clearly know how to focus on that. The way they know is through transparent dashboards, having a mechanism that there's a way every single morning to log into a system, whether it's in their EMR or an overlay platform, of where are the dollars sitting? Where are your bottlenecks that prevent you from billing claims? Because if you can't bill a claim, you can't follow up on it, you can't post the cash, your AR increases. So the other key differentiation is this goes all the way to the C-suite, because the C-suite needs to understand where the bottlenecks are, and they need to have the support of their, they need to be able to support their team to remove those bottlenecks within the organization. One key thing that we notice in 80% of organizations across the country, independent of size, is the number one or the top tier bottleneck in proper AR management is around DNFC. Coding resources are very hard to come by. They're also very challenging to retain because there's so many organizations that need coders and that expertise of coding complex, interdisciplinary, inpatient claims that are not easy bread and butter vanilla that can be done with any type of technology overlay. It's not about coding the two-view chest or the simple lab or the CBC on an outpatient basis. It's all about the complex inpatient to surgery, ED to the admit, that they got a code for injections, infusions, observation time, and the like. We still need human beings to do that. And that process is where the bottleneck is in the majority of organizations across the country. For those organizations that have coding under wraps and they have proper staffing, it's about your billing team and the billing team getting claims out cleanly and addressing those rejections on a daily basis and understanding why are your claims failing. It's not just about the proper workflow to take care of the rejections. It's those organizations that set themselves apart, understand why claims are rejecting, and they work to fix the root cause of those rejections, because then they're reducing the size of their work on a daily basis and improving the flow of the claim from point of discharge to proper posting of the system, shrinking that life cycle of getting a proper payment. From billing, then, of course, you go to AR follow-up. And it's beyond those organizations that are in that top tier, independent of size. They don't focus on a staff member, team member, touching a quantity of accounts every day. Because anyone can touch 50, 60, 70 accounts and just status them. It's about having a scorecard of knowing what are those key metrics that define quality within the business office. Looking at, okay, how do we define success? What are our expectations of our staff members and team when they open an account independent of their EMR, Epic, Cerner, Meditech, it doesn't matter. When they're working Jane Smith's ED to admission with a surgery encounter to discharge, what do they do with that claim when it's not paid yet? What are those key steps as to what qualifies to be a successful touch in getting that claim resolved? That's the key piece. It's about getting a higher percentage of claims touched one time or a limited quantity of times to getting them paid beyond just saying, okay, the payer has it. Gone are the days of just statusing a claim saying, yes, the payer's received it. Because the payer has it in their system online received, it does not mean it's going to get paid. Those organizations that have a defined approach to their claims processing and optimal outcomes, lower AR, faster billed to paid ratios, and higher team engagement, know and define their measures of success. And they clearly communicate to their team that here is what they need to qualify as a proper touch and a proper resolution rate for those claims. That's the key piece of the date, the time, the check. There's so many things that go into that. We could have another Offers Hours just on what's the proper mechanism for AR follow-up and the complexities of that, because no longer are things vanilla within the revenue cycle. Really, and I would say the final, call it swim lane or tier of those organizations that set themselves apart, have a very purposeful reward and recognition program. Now, that's going to take various shapes and sizes. And many organizations have criteria around what they can do and what they can't do beyond the employee's paycheck. But it's about clearly communicating and defining your measures of success, reviewing the employee's work efforts. Employees seek great satisfaction in knowing what they're doing every day. And is it making a difference? Aligning with the purpose of the organization and providing feedback to them and recognizing that they are an integral part of the team. We need to communicate that. We need to recognize success through department awards, whether it is a transparent scorecard and those employees that scored in the top 5% are recognized, whether it is through extra PTO hours, whether it is a lunch with the department leader, whether it is gift cards or some creative event that recognizes that they are doing more than expected. They're producing measurable results for the organization and producing value back to the organization relative to proper AR management.
Quite a mouthful, my friend. So before we move on to the next section, I want to come back to a question that I get a lot in the market, going back to assignment of work. So let's talk quickly about what are some mistakes you see people make when assignment of work comes into play. Specifically, I want you to work the top dollar down, or I want you to work from oldest to newest. Talk a little bit about what you see work really well and some of the pitfalls some companies might fall into.
So beyond the segments that you just articulated, I would say the number one error organizations make is simply and blindly assigning staff to financial classes without a clear understanding of in and outflow and current volume of claims. Organizations where I've seen have opportunity where they say, okay, Sally and Jim are going to work Medicare. Well, if your current Medicare volume is 70% of your payer mix and your open AR is 10,000 accounts, two FTEs is not going to resolve that. And that's why your Medicare days are likely sitting in the 60s when they should be in the 20 to 30 range. So it's a matter of segmenting your AR based on volume of accounts, starting with what is your normal payer mix and what has it been for the last year? Are there changes? Does your organization have seasonality because you're in a snowbird location or whether you're in a sunbird location? Who knows? Or you're in a vacation spot like Vail, Colorado, or Napa, California. Not that I have wine on my brain because it's still early, but looking at what is your volume of inflow and how many accounts should an FTE have and carry for their portfolio on a regular basis? And then monitoring that, my advice is every 2 weeks because things change very dynamically within the revenue cycle. And then it starts there. Then it's looking at, okay, what is the employee's expertise? Putting someone that's only worked government programs or working, or someone that is very experienced on Medicare, but Sally's out for 3 weeks because of an approved vacation and you want them to work commercial, you may be asking an orthopedic surgeon to do a neuroaneurysm procedure. It doesn't connect that way. So really aligning this staff's skill, expertise, background with the volume of claims so that they are set up for success in resolving their portfolio. Oftentimes, what I've seen is leaders get frustrated with their staff, but it starts with the leader because the leader didn't set them up for success.
Yeah, I completely agree. And parallel to that, just to add on, if I may, I think there's been a paradigm shift from someone working in account cradle to grave. So I'm going to be the biller, the collector, the denials person, the follow-up, the poster. There's been obviously paradigm shift away from that into centers of excellence. And then some people have shifted back and forth, depending on what exactly, like exactly your point just then. So I'm going to be an expert at neuro or ortho or rad or inpatient. So it's interesting to see the different methodologies across the entire spectrum as we've gone forward, for sure. Tell us a little bit about how you see organizations organizing around technology overlays, things like that on top of EMRs and such.
So in addition to everything I've articulated, all of those top tier organizations, independent of electronic health record, and yes, independent of whether they have Epic or Cerner or Meditech Expanse, they have some form of workflow management tool, meaning beyond, because all of the EMRs today were implemented in the big push to improve patient safety for clinical delivery, patient safety with medication administration, patient safety and improvement in clinical documentation. None of the great EMRs, in my opinion, set out to be that EMR or that top tier provider of technology because they said they wanted to have the best back-end business office workflow program.
No one's built that.
No one has built that. Some are better than others. Some have better reporting than others. And I'm not going to mention my opinion in that regard. What I will say is I believe all of them need some form of overlay. An overlay meaning you're still working within your core EMR. You have to, whether it's Epic, Cerner, Meditech, or Meditech Expanse, or McKesson, or whatever. But how we funnel work to our staff with an overlay can help with setting up algorithms, help in setting up rules, help in setting up analytics, and also the buzzword AI, but I'll take AI away for a second. And with having an overlay and some sophisticated systems, if you think of this paradigm shift, take all of your payment data, take all of that history of information, and if you know that Blue Cross is going to pay a vanilla two-view chest or a vanilla outpatient cardiology panel prior to a procedure without being within 30 days, why would you funnel that account to a rep to have them even touch it? Totally. If 98% of the time, the payer source is going to pay it. Have an overlay system that carves those accounts out and helps the team member be more efficient in their workday. So if you have this mechanism to take all of that data, move those claims that are going to get paid away from their work list and have them focus on those tough claims that are the ED to admit, the inpatient to surgery to readmit within 72 hours and all of those complex things. Have them work those claims and then use predictive analytics to then funnel those claims that are going to get paid 95% of the time without a touch, as long as you confirm receipt at the payer. Those organizations that have those technologies and have that overlay in the thought process of we want to work by exception, as opposed to every employee needs to touch 60 accounts a day. Those organizations are really setting themselves apart from the other.
Yeah, I think we're going to see, ironically, the expectation on productivity come down if what you're saying happens.
Correct.
So ideally, so whereas before we have all these accounts that are, you know, checks claim status, checks on the way, has taken me my allotted time to do that. If this comes to fruition, all those accounts will be gone. And only thing you'll be working is the actual exceptions. And thus our productivity is probably going to go down, but will be much more effective than actually resolving and liquidating AR.
Correct. Your insurance AR days are going to come down. They'll be in the 30s and 40s. Your team is going to be far more engaged because there isn't such a vice grip on you need to touch X number of accounts a day. Rather, we're looking more at their inflow to outflow ratio and what's rolling from what aging bucket to the next. I believe that's a better way to measure success of true AR management, denial management, and claim life cycle than it is about, okay, Jason, you need to touch 60 accounts a day. And if you touch 60 accounts a day, you're a rock star. Okay, I could touch 60 accounts a day in the first 3 hours and then sit and play games the balance of the day and punch out at the end of the day and I get paid for 8 hours. Rather, focus on how are we addressing the in and outflow? Do all of our team members have the right ratio in their portfolio that they manage? And are they keeping their key metrics within that scorecard range of whatever we agree on what their insurance days should be? Because that's the other tripping point, is the insurance day expectation from Medicare needs to be different than commercial, which is different than work comp, which is different than your TPL MVA claims, which is different from Medicaid. And it can't all be the same because the life cycle of those claims are so drastically different.
Yeah, agree. That's a good segue into this other question I was thinking about getting ready for our talk today. Going back to what you were talking about on recognition and award setting and kind of marrying that with this machine learning to really hone in and get an exact prioritization. What do you think of the efficacy of some people wanting to do kind of a game theory on actually paying percentage to collectors and AR people that manage an inventory as kind of a incentive package to get them to work better? Does that make sense, the question?
Love it. I wish more organizations would have variable compensation. So the transition from a fixed compensation or reward program to a variable program is always a challenge. There needs to be that bridge for the team members so that their, call it, cash flow process personally is not impacted. But I think it can take place, Chuck, where using a creative mind to say, okay, you're going to have an advance. Here's your base. But here's the potential if you exceed expectation and collect more. And then everyone has aligned incentives. It's kind of a contingency fee model. So therefore, those individuals that collect more and are more efficient with their day are more efficient when they're on the phone or on their websites or actually taking the key steps to never have to touch that account again. Those people should be rewarded for the value they're creating for that organization. The challenge being is hospitals are challenged with thinking outside the box. I think that's the best way I can frame it in a politically correct way of there. We need to have another shift in thinking and understand that if you're just going to pay X per hour, your measure of success is that that individual punched in and punched out. And really, how do you hold them accountable beyond the basics of what's in a job description? Did they touch accounts? Check. Did they punch in at the right time and punch out at the right time? Check. How do you really then have a progressive management process outside of that? Rather, shift it to what's the efficacy of your claim life cycle within your specific portfolio that you control with your day?
Yeah, and I think the devil's in the details here. I mean, there's 1,000 reasons not to do it, but I think the upside of it is it can outweigh, and it doesn't necessarily have to be on percent of collections. It could be, you know, percent of collections or aging. It could be on follow-up time. You know, there's a lot of things we could put into this, but I've always kind of been interested in that next level of reimbursement for the staff level people. Mm-hmm. And I've usually get the Heisman from hospital administrators from even talking about it, but it's something that's kind of counterintuitive. If you think about like most hospital execs and most big provider execs will want a vendor or a partner to do it on contingency, right? Rather than a like a per FTE. But then with their own people, they're doing it by FTE, not contingency. Correct. So it's kind of a counterintuitive paradigm there.
Correct.
Interesting. So let me ask you this. So I know this could be a whole nother office hours, but talk a little bit about how denials management factors into our previous discussion on AR management. Is it the same? Are there differences that come into play here? What do you think of that?
I think it's similar with a different approach, Chuck. I think that it's similar in the way of how do you define success? Meaning, how many times, first, what's the root cause of the denial? It's not so much about working the denial, it's understanding why the claim was denied in the first place. And then, is it controllable from the facility? As we all know, denials, I haven't done the study on this, but there's a percentage that are uncontrollable. Just request for more information, request for itemized, request for clinical review, things of that nature is the, and I will say this, and I know it's being recorded, the games the payers play with the providers and the hospitals. But from a AR management perspective, addressing denials, I'm a firm believer if an organization is not finding out why they're denying in the first place, getting to the root cause, it's not about working the lack of authorization. At least that's what the payer remits back. It's about why did the claim deny in the first place and going to the root of upon entry. Was it the entry process? Is it a registration and prior auth process? Is it a physician documentation process? Is it a clinical care medical necessity issue going back to medical staff? There's so many complexities that come into it. But those organizations that are in the top tier that we work with have a real regimented process on a monthly basis that report on all claims that rejected and denied, determining the root cause and measuring their success of what percentage compared back to their total is what's their trends month to month. And that should be going down, not going up.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, we're right on time here, Mr. Adams. So I'm going to give you the final word. I'd like to hear your call, Boston versus Vegas. What is your final call for the score tonight? Remember, this is reading recorded. We will come back to this next time we talk.
2-1 Bruins.
2-1 Bruins. You heard it here, folks, first, everybody. Well, thank you very much for joining. Good to see you. And we'll see everybody on the next Office Hours.
Have a good day. Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks for joining us. Subscribe to get notified when our next episode is online. For more information for how we can help you increase reimbursements at your company, check out our website at infinix.com. That's infinix.com.